Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us tonight. I declare right now in the name of Jesus that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. I declare in the name of Jesus, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And I know we have a right now word, a word in due season, a word that will ultimately change your life forever. You make a decision right from the very beginning that you're ready to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change your life. Now we're going to go ahead and make our declaration. We're going to pray. We're going to jump right into the word of God in the name of Jesus. Now, in accordance to Isaiah 61 and 1, we make this declaration that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord, he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year, the Lord, a day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father God in heaven, our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, Father, to you alone we give glory, honor, and praise this day. That this is the day which you've made, Father, we will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I thank you that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it will be in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, the burdens will be removed, yokes will be destroyed, simply because of the word that will go forth today. Father, I covenant with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Father, I surrender to you. I submit to you. May they hear your voice, Father God, above anything else. May a word be spoken tonight, Father God, that will lead them in the way that they should go, that will cause them to turn from whatever it is they've been in bondage to, Father God. But today they receive healing. Today they receive wholeness. Today they receive salvation. Today they receive that which Jesus has made available for them back on the cross. Father, to you alone we give glory and honor and praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God. Well, again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot, and I want to thank you for joining us here on Kingdom Encounter Live. Our goal each time is to represent God and to show people who God is and what his desire is for their life. Now, we do that by teaching the word in simple, practical ways that you're able to apply to your everyday life. Now, we've been in a series over the last few, I thought it was only going to be a few weeks, but man, it's been more so than that. And we've been talking about how Babylon has fallen. And Babylon, when you're talking about Babylon, we're talking about the Babylon or the world system or the customs and strategies and plans of the world that has been run for years ever since the fall of man, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. So this is not something new. This is not something that just started last week. It's not because of this party or that party, but it's because of the fall of man. And once man fell, what happened was is they entered into a different kingdom known as the kingdom of darkness. And the one who has authority in that kingdom, I had authority in that kingdom, is the adversary. His name is Satan. And most people, you know, you can even poll most Bible believing followers of Christians who call themselves Christians, and they most of them don't even believe that there is a such thing as an adversary. Some people believe it's just a figure that people use to be able to explain when something bad or evil happens. And you know, that's one of the greatest tricks the adversary ever coined, was to get people to believe he did not exist. But if you go through the word of God for yourself, not ask you to take my word for it, but if you go through the word of God for yourself, you will clearly see that there is an adversary and there is a different kingdom that is at work in the earth that's polar opposite to the kingdom of God. Everything with God is good. I said it. Everything with God is good. In fact, it says in James chapter 1 that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father above. In him there is no shadow turning away. In other words, he doesn't flip-flop. He's not schizophrenic. He's not all over the place. He's not one way one day. He's not one way the next day. God is good in its simplest form. God is good. But the adversary, on the other hand, he is straight up, he's bad. He is evil. In fact, there's no truth in him at all. In fact, it says in John chapter 8, verse 44, how that, you know, his nature is to lie. There is no truth in him at all. Even if he begins telling the truth, at some point in time, he's going to twist it and turn it into a lie. That's what the very word perverse means. Perverse means to take something that is good and turn it into something that is worse. And that is what the adversary has done from the very beginning. So, you know, so if you don't believe that God is good, then you will have a misrepresentation of how he is, what he does, and the benefit he will have in your life. And again, one of our main drives is to help people to represent God to a lost and dying world, to help them to understand who is God and what is his desire for your life. And ladies and gentlemen, he has a desire for your life. And you know, the only way you're going to find out what that desire is you're going to have, I double dog dare you, give us 1 year of your life to be able to teach you the word of God, to demonstrate this word for you, and, you know, in practical ways. So, and you actually do what the word of God says and applying it in your everyday life, I guarantee you, it will change your life. I guarantee you it will change your life. But if you sit back and all you do is listen to what other people say about the word, but you never take time out to read it for yourself, and then begin to apply what it is that you read, your life, even though all the benefits, everything you need to turn your life around is already made available to you, your life won't be any different than it was before. You know, it's kind of like somebody who watches a lot of those workout videos or reads up on all these kind of different diets and all these exercise programs. You can read it. You can watch it. You can repeat it over and over and over again to yourself until it's running out of your ears and running out of your eyes. But guess what? Until you make a decision, a quality decision, a decision where there is no return, to actually apply it to your life, nothing will ever change. Your life will never change. Even though you have all the information in order to change it, you will never change. And you will blame it on all kinds of things. But we did a series not long ago called, you know, talking about the man in the mirror. And it's talking about when you begin to look in the mirror and examine for yourself, you know, the things that you see, the things that you don't see. When you begin to get honest with yourself about where you are right now, that is one of the best places to start. You know, one of the interesting things about any AA program, Alcohol Anonymous, or Narcotics Anonymous, or whatever kind of program it is, the first step in that is to recognize there is a problem. And the thing about it, the whole thing about this, you know, teaching about how Babylon is falling and why God is warning and sounding the alarm all over the world about how Babylon, the system, is falling, and that you need to understand how God's ways work and why it's important to understand how the adversary has been tricking you, scheming you, plotting on you to cause you dismay in your life. God wanted to make sure that you didn't get caught off guard. And this is what he said years ago. In John 10, chapter 10, he says it this way. He says the thief, talking about the adversary, only comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He says, but Jesus says, but I came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. What does the adversary do first? He comes to steal. What does he want to steal? He wants to steal your identity. Second, he wants to kill. What does he want to kill? He wants to kill your purpose. And thirdly, He wants to destroy. What is he looking to destroy? Destroy your life, or the life that God intended for you from the foundation of the world. Now, we talked about last time about how the adversary, he is an antagonist. And what does an antagonist do? An antagonist is one who actually contends against you. So whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to receive it or not, that you have an adversary, and his whole mission is to combat or contend against you, to keep you from living the God kind of life, our life according to God's ways of doing things, that gives you a life that's in abundance to the full until it overflows. We talked about last time how Satan, he is the lowercase G-O-D, God of this world, which we found out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And we're reading this out of the New Living Translation, talking about how if the good news, talking about the word of God, which we're preaching, if this good news is hidden behind the veil, it's only hidden to those who are already perishing. So, you know, the adversary wants to make sure that you never get, if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, he wants to make sure you never hear anything about this good news, about what Jesus has done to make available to you this life, the God kind of life in abundance to the full until it overflows. So what does he try to do? He goes around and he goes out, and what he wants to do is blind the minds of those who don't believe. You say he's actually trying to intentionally blind the minds? Yes, he's literally trying to blind the minds of those who don't believe. And the reason why he's trying to blind their mind is that they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. See, unless the gospel be preached to you, unless somebody shares this good news with you, your mind will be blinded to the good news that's available to you. Your mind will be blinded to those things that God has already made available to you. See, if they don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, if they don't understand this message about what God has already made available to them, how God sent his son into the world, according to John chapter 3, 17, not to condemn the world, but he sent his son Jesus into the world that the world through Jesus Christ might be saved. That word saved means healed, set free, delivered, and made whole. We talked about this last time about how the only thing needed for evil to triumph is for good people to say absolutely nothing. Unfortunate, there are so many people still in the world today, 2024, who have never heard the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did and what he did not do, what he came to do, what his mission was. And one of the things his mission was to destroy the works of the adversary, to destroy the schemes, the traps, the trickeries, the mythologies of the adversary. In fact, if you look up the name devil in the Greek, is diabolos, which is actually an adjective that talks about what he is and what he does. And what he does, he's a false accuser. He is a slanderer. So he will falsely accuse you before others. He will falsely accuse others before you. He will use others to slander your name. He will use you to slander other people's names. How does he get people to do that? Because he tries to get you to yield to his foolery. He tries to get you to yield to his tricks and his schemes, his methods and his strategies. You know, it's interesting that even all the way back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, reading out in the New Living Translation, what does Paul say to the church at Ephesus? He says, he says in verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So your strength is not in your own abilities, but your strength is in the Lord and in the power or the strength of his might, his abilities, his giftings, and his talents. He says, not only are you to be strong in the Lord, but in the power of his might, but you are to put on, this is what verse 11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies or the wiles or the tricks or the schemes or the methods or strategies of the devil or of the false accuser and slanderer. And we talked about last time about, you know, there was like three or four different methods by which the adversary goes about trying to, with his schemes, his tricks, his strategies, and his methods to do what? To falsely accuse and to slander. We talked about last time about how, you know, he uses distractions. And what is a distraction? A distraction is simply something that it brings about confusion from a multiplicity of objects crowding on the mind and calling the attention in different ways. Another way to say that is you got so many things pulling for your attention in so many different ways, it's hard for you to find out or focus on what is the truth. That's why you hear so many people say there's more than one truth. You know, I have my truth, you have your truth. No, there's only one truth, and the truth is found in the Word of God. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. And then he goes on to talk about not only will he use distractions as a way to bring about confusion, uses distractions to bring about confusion of affairs. You know, even, you know, in this whole U.S. Political, you know, campaigns that are going on. Man, if last week they had a debate and boy, there was more distraction. And it's interesting because as I was watching it and hearing the different sides and listening how the moderators and all that was going, there was clearly an agenda on three different parts. There was an agenda on the Republican side. There was an agenda on the Democratic side. Even the moderators who are supposed to be neutral, they came in with their own agenda. And what happened is there was so much confusion because there was so much distraction going on, you know, going back and forth at one another, that it brought about more confusion than it brought about clarity. Then you have what's known as propaganda. What is propaganda? Propaganda is to get you, the whole purpose of propaganda is to get you to compromise. It's information, especially information that's biased or misleading in nature, used to promote or publicize a particular position or point of view. Like we said, even in this debate, man, there was propaganda going on before the debate. There was propaganda that has been going on after the debate. In fact, you almost can't watch any YouTube because people, everybody watched the same debate, but everybody is hearing it from, seeing it from different perspectives because the propaganda campaign was going on. What's the whole purpose of that? Is to give you information to try to get you to compromise what it is that you believe, or compromise what it is that you think you understand, or compromise what it is that you believe that you stand firm on. In propaganda, it's going to do three things. It relies on emotional manipulation. So it's going to try to manipulate your emotions. Propagandas will use lies, and propaganda is usually subjective, and it comes from a one-sided view, a one-sided information, not telling the other side. And that's the great thing about, you know, living in 2024, man, you can fact check people. And the thing about it is you watched, even when I told you there was three different agendas, you have one Republican, one Democrat, and the moderators had an agenda. And the moderators, even in their, where they're supposed to be neutral, they had a slanted, one-sided view, and they fact-checked one group, and they didn't fact-check the other group at all, and it got exposed. So on all three levels, there was some amount of propaganda, some amount of trying to get people to compromise from what it is they ordinarily believe to switch to another form of belief. The other thing that goes on, the adversary uses, but see, you got to understand, you got to watch how if you see it played out on that stage, the adversary does the exact same thing every single day of your life in multiple areas of your life. One of the other ways, methods that the adversary uses is brainwashing. And what he's trying to brainwash you from he uses a systematic effort to try to persuade non-believers to accept a certain allegiance or command our doctrine. What's his goal? His goal is to brainwash you. If you're a baby Christian or you're not a follower of Jesus at all, he's trying to keep you away from the kingdom of God and keep you bound in the kingdom of darkness. And what happens is he wants to bombard you with so many. It's a systematic attack, and he uses social media. He uses the news. He uses politicians. He uses celebrities. He uses athletes. He uses anyone who has influence to try to brainwash you in a systematic method to persuade you to accept a certain allegiance to a certain group or a certain position or a certain doctrine or a certain command. And, you know, it's generally applied to any technique used, again, to manipulate human thought or action against the desire, will, or knowledge of that individual. You won't even realize that you're being brainwashed. You know, and what is the sum? What are the three things that they use to do this? And it's happening. Just go back. All you got to do is go back and watch some of the advocates. You know, political advocates, social item advocates. All those are using brainwashing, and the whole thing they're doing is trying to systematically persuade you to accept a certain allegiance, a command, a doctrine. And if you don't accept their way of thinking, they beat you down, they backslash you, they say all kind of things about you to do what? To try to beat you into submission or beat you into silence. And what they use is they use three different things. They use desensitizing. They want to desensitize you to what you used to believe. How do they do that? By exposing you to the things that they want you to believe until you it changes to the norm. Or they use what's known as jamming, where they take two contradictory images and link them to something as bad. Every time you think about, you know, it's like if you were a vegan and every time that you talk about meat or something like that, they show, you know, somebody dying, or they say, well, this person got this kind of disease or whatever the case may be. They use jamming to try to jam or to confuse you with taking two contradictory images and they're linking it to something is bad. And their ultimate goal in all their brainwashing is the third one, is to bring about conversion. Conversion to do what? To get you to actually make you like one of them, where they beat you down. That's why they call it the woke community, where they say they're going to, you know, if you don't believe the same way they believe, they're going to beat you down until you come to a place of submission. It all comes down to a battle of ideologies. And this is, you know, when you're looking at this, an ideology is simply a manner or the content of thinking characteristic of an individual's or group or culture. What it is a systematic body of concepts talking about, especially about a human life or culture. It is a system of ideas and ideals, especially ones which form the basis of a person's thoughts, theories, and policies. So what do people do? They when they have an ideology, it's a systematic way of how they think. It's a systematic way of what they believe. It's a system of things in which forms the basis of their beliefs and their systems. So if your adversary, what he does is he takes this, he uses distractions, propaganda, and he uses brainwashing to try to do what? All used to manipulate you, to confuse you, to backlash you, to try to pressurize you, to try to persuade you to accept his way of thinking or his way of doing. But what does God do? God just uses his word. He uses his word. And what does his word do? His word actually is not confusion. It doesn't bring about distraction, because his word is consistently the same. It's not about trying to manipulate you. It's about teaching you the truth and allowing you to make a decision whether you're going to follow it or not. It's not about propaganda to try to get you to compromise. He doesn't rely on manipulation. He doesn't rely on lies. He doesn't rely on a one-sided information. He gives you the truth. He'll tell you, know, that's what I love about the word of God. Even in Deuteronomy 30, when he was talking to the children of Israel, and you know, they was flip-flopping all over the place. And he says to them, he says, I have set before you life and death. He says, blessing and cursing. He says, you choose. He says, now, if you choose life, what I want you to choose is life or my way of living. And these are the things that is available. What does it look like? You love the Lord with all your heart. You keep his commandments and follow in his ways, right? And then he says, or you can, from your heart, you can make a decision to choose death. If you want to live your own way, he says, you can make that decision. But in doing so, this is the result of living that way. And then he says, now I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. He says that I have presented to you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your family may live. But if you make a decision to choose to go another way, he will honor your decision. Did you know that about John chapter 3? When Jesus, remember we talked about how God sent his son Jesus into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God goes on to say this in verse number 18. He says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, which is the name of Jesus Christ. He says, and this is the condemnation. He says, that the light has come into the world. Jesus came into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who's practicing evil hates the light. Why do they hate the light and do not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed? The reason why people don't want to come out of darkness is because they enjoy doing what's in the dark. He says, but when you come to the light, the first thing the light does, it exposes those things that are done in darkness. But he who does the truth comes to light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. What is he saying? He's saying, hey, when people make a decision to come out of darkness and come to the light, what happens? Yes, your deeds are exposed. What have been done in darkness? But you know what God does? The moment you come to the light, he treats and you receive that light. You receive his son, Jesus Christ. You come out of that distractions. You're no longer bound to propaganda. You're not giving into brainwashing. You know what happens when you come to that light? The light is there to do what? Bring you out of darkness. What is he there to do? To cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He's there to make your way straight. But he can't do it against your will. You have to make a decision. And what do? You make a decision to receive him as your Lord and Savior. You have to make a decision to receive Jesus. You have to make a decision that from this day forward, I make a decision to follow wholly after you. It's a decision. None of us came to God already ready. None of us came to Jesus saying, you know, I already got my life straight. I don't need you. None of us came to him and says, you know, there's more ways to God than just you. We came to him and this is what we said. We don't know all that we need to know, but we do know this. We know that we're tired of living the way we've been living. It wasn't about afraid of going to hell. For me, I just got tired of living the way I used to live. And I said, man, there's got to be a better way than this. There's got to be a better way than this. And then one day, not even in a church, on a shipping dock, he said this to me, and I didn't even know God would talk to you. He says, I have a way out for you, but it's going to take a decision on your part. The only thing I remember saying was, okay. And from that day to this, he has all the things, all the lies, all the misinformation, all the manipulation, all the trying to convert me this way and that way, all the propaganda, all that got exposed. And how did it get exposed? By reading his word. I got into truth and I found out what the word of God had to say about it for myself. And that's what I'm inviting you to do. Again, it's so simple. A child can do it. And how do you do it? God's already told us. He says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The adversary will try to use all these things to try to confuse you, to manipulate you, to put pressure on you, to turn from God's way of doing things to his way of doing things. But God never will. God will say, I set before you this day, life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. You choose which one you will serve. You choose which one you will follow. And he says, it's as simple as this. The same thing he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's the same thing that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. He says it this way. He says, the word of God is not you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to choose. It's that simple. You have to choose. From whom choose you this day, whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I invite you to pray this prayer with me. If you never prayed, accepted Jesus as your Lord, before, I give you an opportunity to do that. If you made a decision before this to follow Jesus, but you know you haven't necessarily been living right, or you just want to rededicate yourself and let this be day one, pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from my heart. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin, and I accept your offer of forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God. Well, if you pray that prayer with me for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the body of Christ, welcome you into right relationship with God, welcome you into the kingdom of God. Now, what do you got to do now, man? You got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches you about the kingdom of God and the love of God. Man, I know that Ignite Depot is such a place. So if you want to join us here each week at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, and we'd love to have you join us, you know. And if you're looking for a church in your local area and you have some trouble, man, send us an email at info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. Also, if you have a prayer request, you want us to pray for you, man, we would love to go to the throne of God on your behalf. You can also send us an email at info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. We'd love to be able to be a blessing to you and your family in Jesus' name. If you want to be a blessing to the ministry, you want to sow into the ministry, man, just look up for Ignite Depot. You can do it. Just type in Ignite Depot and look up where it says give. You can sow into the ministry that way. Man, we'd love to, you know, to take your gifts and present them before God. Believe God for you for a harvest off the seed that you sown. And also helps us to get this gospel across the world. Now, on behalf of Pastor Jordan and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.